This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Behemo gasol. I don't know how you define a behemo gasol. Behemo gasol is cows, oxen, as opposed to sheep and calves. So sheep and calves. Behemo, not sheep. Sheep, isn't it? So. And that's so I'm not sure exactly what the domestic definition is. The way you koine a behemoth, the performance of a kinyan, an act which makes the reneging of the contract unacceptable, is meshicha. Meshicha is you pull the animal. Ask the Gemara of Anan Tznan b'mesira, did we not learn that you've got to use mesira? Mesira is passing, so you pass the reins from one to another. Udomer Kihai Tana answers the Gemara Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar holds like a dissenting view of the Tanoim. The Tanya v'Chachomim Amrim, where the Chachomim say Zu v'Zu b'mshicha, that both the Behema Gaso and the Behema Dako can be nicknamed b'mshicha. Rabbi Shimon Amrim Zu v'Zu b'Hagbo. Rabbi Shimon says both with Hagbo. So we have one view that says that Behema Gaso is with Mesiro, one view that says all Behemas are with Mesiro, and one view that says all Behemas are with Hagbo. Now, how do you perform Hagbo on an elephant? Right, so let's learn the Rashi. B'mesira tnan b'feri kama di kiddushin di kivan de mosal lo be'afsa k'no. Since one has handed over the reins, one has been koine. Afar pi shaloi moshko m'rishus moichir, even though it has not been taken out of the rishus of the moichir. So you're standing in the rishus, in the property of the seller, And you're not moving, the animal doesn't move, you're not doing anything that changes the status, the physical status of the animal, but merely handing over the reins, and that is a good kinyan. What do you think the machlokes is? Why is mesira good or not good? What does it revolve around? And what's the issue?
If we go back to many years ago when we did the dinim of kinyanim, I seem to remember that the emphasis on whether the seller is prepared to let the buyer do something without interfering.
The expression of ownership, to perform an act of ownership.
Allow me to lift up a watch or something like that, then without interfering with me, without
right.
Stopping me, then
it's... Is it right?
I think she'd like to go.
So obviously here, they're in doubt. These reins, are you coining the reins, or are you coining the animal, or something like that?
So normally a kinyan has to be an act performed on the object. In the case of the reins, it's not an act performed on the object, but there's no greater mastery of an animal than holding its reins. The reins is what you control it by. Zu v'zu, gaso v'dako b'hagbo. So the one view is that both a behemah gaso and a behemah dako, you've got to lift the actual animal up. It's not sufficient to perform an action on the reins, you have to perform the action on the animal. B'gaso metatsinin b'kedushin. How do you do the behemah gaso, a heavy animal, how do you lift him up? Shenoisin chavile izmoirus tachas ragleo. You put bales of whatever straw, whatever material that they use, and you get the animal to walk up on the bale. So you have caused the animal to elevate itself. But that's also considered a hagbo, even though you were not magbir, you didn't lift the animal with your own hands. Since you caused the animal to elevate itself, that's called a hagbo. Says Tosfos, behema gaso, ein ikar hadover kan. The main sugya is not here. And if you want to go into the matter, you can look at the first perek in Kiddushin. That's where the place of the sugya is. And Tosfos sees no reason to go into any lengthy analyses at this point, and therefore nor will we. That's why Tosfos tells you that. It's limit also, otherwise Tosfos will just keep quiet. He tells you, don't If you're learning Bava Kama, that's not what belongs here. Very often we do sugyas that are not directly connected with the Masechta, but that's because this is the only place it appears. And while you're on it, this is your opportunity to learn it. But where there's a sugya that appears somewhere else and that other place is its proper place, then it's just confusing to learn it here. Ve'omar Ula Omar Rabbi Elozer, and another member of Ula in the name of Rabbi Elozer, He'ochin Shecholku, brothers dividing up an estate. Mashe Alehim Shomin, Mashe Al B'neim Uvnoiseim Ein Shomin. What does that mean? What's the case here? What's the story? Right.
So the question is, are they taken into account in assessing the value of the estate? Or is it considered as having been something which was made, passed out of the estate, and it isn't brought into calculating the estate?
So what's happened is, the estate, the man dies, and the children have started helping themselves to clothing items, to items of clothing. Now we sit down to divide up the estate. Do we throw back the clothing that they've taken? Do we throw that back into the pool and work that out as part of the cheshbon of the division or not? So the Gemara says, Masha alein shomin. The clothes that they are wearing, that has to be taken into account. Masha b'nei mivneisem ein shomin. Why not, says Rashi. Masha b'nei mivneisem ein shomin. Since the sons and daughters, that the little children, don't come to Beis Din when this is all taking place, we are not mevaze them, we don't disgrace them to bring the children. But what kind of taina is that? And if the children each help themselves to a diamond necklace, what are we going to say also? To bring them to Beis Din, poor little children, leave them at home. Well, what kind of sfora is this?
The Masi meaning?
To bring them.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you have to bring the children? Just bring the clothes.
Oh, so what's the answer?
That's
they're wearing the clothes. They're wearing the clothes. We don't know what poverty is. We don't know how Jews lived until recently. And there's still parts of the world where it occurs. We don't the extent, the degree, poverty is so relative, but the extent of that, that's the only clothes they've got. So it means bringing them to Beis Din, so Beis Din can have a look at them and work it all out. That we don't want to do. But what do we do with the financial claim? After all, there's a question of Dinei Mominus here. What do we do with it all? So the Tosfos adds just one thing. Mashal b'neim uvenoseim ein shomin shemisbayshim lahaviam lebeis din, because the parents are ashamed to bring them to Beis Din, umachli ahadadi, and therefore there's an implied mechila of foregoing of it. All the parents are, look, I don't want to bring my children, you don't want to bring your children, let's just forget that, and then we don't have to go through the whole thing and carry on from there. But that's a very critical part. There has to be mechila. If there's not mechila, you can't just keep the children home because they're embarrassed to come. Somebody's going to be done out of what is justifiably theirs. But if all the brothers feel that this is not worth schlepping the children into it, let's just be mechila, let's just forget this. So there is an assumed mechila. But if one of the brothers says, I'm sorry, I'm not mechila, then according to Tosfos, they would have to bring the child there. There's an assumed, there's an implied mechila, but not a compulsory mechila. Rashi doesn't mention the mechila. There are two differences between Rashi and Tosfos. One is that Rashi doesn't mention Mechila. Can you see the second difference? Bizoyin is opposed to Bizbayashim, but the difference is not so much in the word. You're right, there is something even in the word, but look at it, you're very close to what I'm thinking of.
One's on the children.
Yeah.
Talking about the parents and
Tosfos
on the children.
No, Tosfos is also talking about the parents. They are embarrassed to bring them to Beis Din. And Rashi, what does Rashi say? No, Rashi doesn't say it's a bizoin. What is the accurate translation of the Rashi? Lo mevazinan lehu lemesi. What does that mean? Lo mevazinan lehu lemesi. Yehuda, what is it? Say it again. We don't shame them to make them come. Who's the we? Beis Din. So there's a difference there as well. Rashi says we are not. We don't impose that bizoyon on them. Tosfos says they're misbayishim. They are ashamed to come. Now there's a difference. They are ashamed to come, so they choose to be mechil. Maybe according to Rashi, it's not mechil. Maybe according to Rashi, it's not that you're ashamed, so we assume you've forgone it one to the other. We don't want to put you through. Even if you want to come, we don't want your children to come. We don't want to put you through that shame. So how will it work then? Who's forgetting the claims? How can Beis Din impose a foregoing of claims? I don't know the answer to that question. No, we don't. Ain't shamin. That's a good question. Why doesn't Beis Din go to them then? If necessary, go to them and do the shuma there. I don't know the answer to that question, but I think that there's a difference between Rashi and Tosfos. I think that according to Rashi, Mechila doesn't come into it. This is Beis Din doesn't allow them to come. It's not a question that we... And if the one will say, I'm not Mechil, we'll say Taflak. Whereas according to Tosfos, we'll say, you're not Mechil, then sorry everybody, we've got to now insist that the children come because one brother won't be Mechil. Whereas according to Rashi, I think that Rashi is saying that we... irrespective of their views, we will not bring the children to Beis Din. For those smaller amounts, we will be Mechil. How can Beis Din be Mechil? There is a principle of Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Beis Din have the right to remove ownership, to cancel claims. It's used only in certain specific cases. Maybe that's the principle here, that Beis Din declare it as Hefker. Beis Din say we must assume that, this has, that there are no claims on these clothes. But to me, it appears that that's what Rashi is saying. Maybe we should have a look in the halacha just now, in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, to see whether there's any kind of mention there that of such a shita. Gemara goes on to say, "Omer apopa pa'amim af mash'alim ein shomim." There are situations where even what the brothers are wearing, the sons of the deceased are wearing, where we're not showing them. Vishkachas lo, for example, begodol achi. The oldest of the brothers, because it is in all of their interests that his words should be heard. Says Rashi, "Begodol achi, godol ha'ochin, ha'oisek b'nechosin." The older of the brothers who deals in the property, you begin to see here why the bechor gets extra. He's assumed to take the responsibility.
It's not the godol.
But normally it's the same person. Normally it would be the same person. But it's expected because the whole type.
He's the godel one who was able to deal with.
Godel, who is the one? Lichura, it means what Rashi means is that he is the one that normally the oldest one is the one that will deal with the chosin. Hachnis lohitzi. The ad hashto nichelu laachin delichsi mididhu b'malbushim noim ki hechi delishtamun milei. For until now, it is in the interests of the brothers that they should pay for his clothing, the lichsi mididu, that he should clothe himself from theirs. But malbushim noim, with fine clothes, ki hechi delishtamun milo, so the people will listen to him. It's an incredible concept. So we see, number one, the importance of clothing, that halacha acknowledges clothing as a tool of business. That the way you dress affects the way the authority with which you speak. And people don't realize that, and it's silly. Certain people realize it. Bankers realize it. Lawyers realize it. Go into the fancy law firms, you see how the lawyers are all dressed. It's not by chance. If one lawyer won't dress that way, the partners will tell him. It's not the way you come dressed. So they all wear, and it's all laid down. It's all well researched. It's very simple what they wear. At Edward Nathan, what do they used to all wear? I'll tell you before. Let me tell you what I think. If they're following the rules, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Either grey navy, not blue, grey navy charcoal, Magrova Navy, nothing else. Plain, well cut, some with pinstripe, some plain. Nearly all white shirts, occasionally pale blue or pale grey, but no pale grey shirts. Not for a lawyer. If they're wearing a pale blue shirt, it would have to be with a very fancy tie and a very good suit. Otherwise, white. Very seldom jerseys. Very seldom wearing jerseys. Never scarves or jackets or anything like that. How close am I?
There was no dress code.
But I'm talking about the senior, the good ones, the ones who've got the big accounts.
No, you had to come in with a suit.
What had to? But my son
wouldn't wear a jacket. He would sometimes just wear, his jacket would be put in the office and he'd walk around with arms.
Yeah, walk around, but if you were seeing a client, not a close client. Mike Pett is a law unto himself. He doesn't need the person.
there were different shades.
There were different shades, really?
Yeah.
In the office they would wear jerseys.
Well, that's this kind of thing. Like
Somebody must go in and give them some lessons.
Yeah.
There are reasons for all this. Why is wearing a jersey so significant? Why is it going to affect how whether people listen to you or not if you're wearing a jersey? Yeah, it shows that your offices are too cold. You can't afford proper heating. You don't sit in your office with a jersey on. That means this. That means you're not in control of your environment.
I think it was when they came into the office and when they left it, they were the thick coats.
Oh yeah, then they can wear balaclavas when they come and go. That they can do what they want as long as they come before anybody else comes. I'm talking if they're sitting. If you went into a meeting, if there was a meeting with a client and four or five of your senior partners there, how would those partners be dressed?
No, they wouldn't wear jersey for that. But internally they wouldn't, but the shades of the clothes, look, people are conventional. Attorneys are known to be very conventional, so they would tend to go for the navies and the charcoals.
It's not because they're conventional, it's because they actually understand some subconsciously and subconsciously the authority that is attached.
Now, the colours you mentioned would certainly be the predominant in the family.
Well, it's clear these bank managers are the same, auditors are the same. It's very, very important. Very, very important. Every variation from that, you see, the reason for that is because it's neutral. Any variation from that is a statement. So if you're wearing a sports jacket or a blazer and the rest of it, then you're too casual. And if you're wearing then you're too casual. If you're wearing something very warm, then you're too poor to have proper air conditioning. Or if you're wearing something very light, you're wearing a safari suit. It's also no good. Your offices are supposed to be climate controlled. These are all things, and the concept of the lishtamun mile is very, very critical. But there is such a thing as the authority that results from, I call them, the props. It's not really important. It doesn't mean that a person who's properly dressed has more authority than one who isn't properly dressed. But the fact is, it works that way when you're at a meeting. You watch who are the people who at the end of the day their word goes, and watch how they're dressed. And it's not because they're authoritative people, they're dressed that way. Their view goes because they're dressed that way, and various other things that they have learned and that they've picked up, which are all power plays. But you see that halacha acknowledges the thing, that there is such a thing as and it's in the interests of the brothers that the negotiating one should be well dressed. It's in their interests. That's why there should be no question. One can use this as a precedent to be able to claim a dress allowance for tax purposes. If your business requires you to negotiate, then you should be entitled, I don't know what the law is, but you should be entitled to spend more than you would normally spend because your business requires that you have authority and that you should dress accordingly, and that's a business expense.
I'm trying to tell you
something. So quote this as a source.
I'd rather not quite, I'd rather just get it done.
Why is it naked now? Once the division comes into play.
And up until the time of the division, to add Hashda. Once they've divided, he's not acting on their behalf anymore.
I thought that up to he didn't pay business until. until the division. Now the division is after he's done all the business.
Right.
How do you keep it closed at that point?
So you're saying, so now it's finished, now they're dividing. Up till now it was Nichon, now they wanted him to have it. It seems you don't give clothes back. So what are we going to say? We're going to now deduct the advantage that you've got from those clothes. I say, no, but we wanted you to have them. No, you don't lend clothes out, you don't lease clothes. At least not yet. So if it was in their interest that he should have a suit of clothes, you don't say, it's a very important point, it would appear from this, you don't say, right, now you don't need it anymore.
They can't say that.
Seems not, yeah. Clothes are too personal. If you give a person an allowance, you allow him to wear a suit of clothes. Let's say a person is representing you and he has to buy a special suit of clothes for that one session. And he charges you, bills you for it. Your lawyer says, look, normally I wander around in a safari suit, but we're going to the Supreme Court today, and so I've got to buy a special suit of clothes, and you accept it. When the case is over, you say, can I want my suit of clothes? It doesn't work that way. It would appear that he's entitled to say that's for fun and that's gone. The first time I went to New York on business, I bought myself a special checked suit, you know, with striped pants and all sorts of funny colors, because I've seen all these American tourists all over, so I thought that's how they dress there. But that's not how they dress there. That's how they dress on holiday. They dress very, very conservative. The businessmen know the rules. And they dress very, very conservatively. Those who are in those kind of positions. It's incredible. I found this incredible to find in halacha such an extent, to be taken to such a degree, that it is in the interest of the parties to make sure that their negotiating partner is properly presented. That's in their interests. Says Tosfos. In that same Tosfos that we didn't finish, Ufosak Rav Alfas Davke Bigdei Chol, Aval Bigdei Shabbos Shomin. But it's only the weekday clothes of the children, says the Rif, that you don't evaluate, but the Shabbos clothes you do, because they can bring them to court. There's no bizoyin involved, there's no busher involved. That the clothes should be brought. V'hafki Isa Birushalmi. They can say we object, says Tosfos, even with a godel achi. They can say we object. It is not in our interest to spend money on his attire. But what we're saying is, again, there's an implied acceptance that if they don't say anything, we're entitled to assume that they want their older brother to be well dressed, because that's in their interests. Next piece of the mark.
How do they determine the value? At what he purchased it at, or what it's valued now?
You mean where they are shaman with the others?
Yes.
Probably his market value at the time that they took it from the estate.
Sorry, Rob, this could be going a bit like what I was saying, that at what point can we be mechel?
Mechel or moche? Moichel is the opposite of moichel. Moichel means to forgo. Moichel means to object.
Right. At what point can I object? Can it be the party has done the business or no?
Yeah. You want to say that's what Tosfos is saying, that in moichel are rishus biyodom, that they can say at any stage they can say up till now, but from now on we no longer want. Maybe. In moichel are rishus biyodom. Well, calls manchulu michu for so long as they are not moche, we assume. That might be, Trevor, that you're right. The Tosfos is saying that at any stage they can object, and from then onwards it would have to be taken into account. In other words, we don't impose on them. We don't say it is in your interest that your brother is well dressed. We merely assume that if you haven't objected, that's the way you see it. Next piece of Gemara. Omar ulo maravilozo. Shemer shemosar l'shemer potu. A very interesting case. I give my a Rembrandt to somebody to look after, and I go on holiday. But then he wants to go on holiday too, so he gives it to a third person to look after. So potu, What does it mean he's potur? Says Rashi, Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer Potur Harishon, the first Shomer is potur, B'chol Oysom Dinim Shehoyo Potur Im Hoyso Etzle Potur Nami Hashta. For all those dinim for which he would have been potur had it been with him in the first place, he remains potur now too. In other words, there are no extra chiyuvim added because he transferred the responsibility to a new shomer. V'loy amrinan pshia yizu shemasor le'ish acher. And we don't say your handing it over was already a pshia, was already carelessness, and therefore you chayav for anything that happens thereafter. So we're not saying, okay, you want to go on holiday, you want to hand it over to another shomer. That's at your risk. You can hand it over to another shomer, but know that shomer is acting for you, not for the owner. And if anything happens to the article in the hands of the third shomer, you will remain responsible because you haven't kept it. We don't say that. We say that all the responsibilities are transferred, that a shomer is entitled to transfer shmirah to a new shomer. Says the Gemara further, V'loy mibaya shomer chinam shemasa l'shomer socha. Not only in a case of a shomer chinam handing over to a shomer socha. Okay, a shomer chinam, we need to just clarify the halachas here. A shomer chinam takes no fee for looking after the article, therefore his responsibilities are least. He is potter for oynes, certainly, and his potter for gneva v'aveda, for theft or any other form of loss. In fact, he is potter for everything except pshia. That's a shomer chinam. Only chaya for pshia, so if he was careless. If he wasn't careless, he's potter, because he's not being paid to do it. The shomer socher or the socher have the same dinim. Shomer socher is somebody who's being paid to look after it. A socher is somebody who's paying to use it. He's renting it. And the shomer socher and the socher have the same responsibilities, which are potur for oynes, the same as the shomer chinam, chay for pshia, of course, but also chay for gneva v'aved in the middle, for theft and other forms of loss. And we have the shoyel who's chay for everything, even oynes, the borrower, the person who uses it without paying. Those are the categories that we have. So the Gemara here says not only is he potter if it's a shomer chinam who handed over to a shomer socha, the iluyu alya lishmirosa, where he's actually taking extra care, he's now handing it to somebody more qualified, more responsible. He was a shomer chinam and now there's a shomer socha. Not only there do we say that there are no extra chiyuvim on him, elo afilu shomer socha shemosel shomer chinam, but even the other way around, where a shomer socha handed over to a shomer chinam, the hashta grue gari lishmirosa, where the shmirah is of a lower standard. So I give it to somebody, I give my remnant to somebody and I pay him to look after it. I go and I take it to the bank. And I say, I want you to look after this and I'll pay you for it. The bank manager says, you know, I'm going on holiday and I don't want to leave this remnant lying around in the bank. I don't know who's got keys and who comes in and out. I'm going to give it to my friend to look after. And I won't charge you, I won't pay him for it. I'll ask him to do me a favor, but at least I know he's at home all the time. He'll look after the Rembrandt. So a shomer socher is handed over to a shomer chinam. Still, the same two replies.
What happens if it was stolen from the now the shomer chinam?
So. Why is that? Sharei mosel levendas. Because he handed it over to an intelligent being. So that's shmirah, throw it over to an intelligent being. That's all that you're responsible to do. Says Rashi, V'loy mebaya shomer chinam shemosa l'shomer socher. And not only a shomer chinam handed over to a shomer socher, v'nignava oishe ovdo, and there it got stolen or lost. The potur shomer chinam, in which case a shomer chinam would be potur, ki echid mifte ilava gabay d'loy posha. In the same way as it would have been potter if it was in his hands, because he wasn't posheya. So even if a shomer chinam gave it to a shomer socher and it was lost, now it's an interesting case. What happens? Gave it over to the shomer socher and then it was stolen. Is the shomer socher chayev or potter? For gneva.
He's chayev. What is the din of the shomer chinam? Is he chayev or potter? He's potter. So who does the shomer socher pay?
The shomer.
So the shomer chinam ends up making a profit, and the owner ends up with nothing. That's a bit strange, isn't it? The owner loses his Rembrandt and gets not a penny for it, and the shomer chinam gets 2 million rand from the or 20 million rand, whatever they cost, or dollars, and $200 million. From the shomer socher, comes out that the shomer chinam actually can make a lot of money that way. Yeah, so we have to deal with that. Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound proper. But the iluya alil shmirah. So in such a case where it's an increased shmirah. The Shomer Socher Moser Nafshel in Turit Fei Mishomer Chinam. Why is the Shomer Socher a better Shmira? Because when one is paid for something, one does it better.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Take
you take more care of something you're paid. There's Mesirus Nefesh. Moser Nafshel in Turit. There's more Mesirus Nefesh. Sharei Shomer Socher Chayev Bigneve V'Aveda. Since it's Chayev Bigneve V'Aveda, interesting what Rashi says. The Shomer Socher is Moser Nafshel. He doesn't say because he's paid to do it. No, why is he paid? Added responsibility. Not because of his added, not because of the payment for it, but because of responsibility.
More stick than carriage.
It's the stick that's getting it, according to Rashi. Yeah. Since he knows he's going to be chayev bigneva va'aveda, he looks after it more carefully.
Is the language here very strong? Once an object,
not once an object. Too, if it's a Rembrandt that you're going to have to pay for, if it's lost, you're most an
effish. No, the language here is a
bit. No, you are most an effish. Somebody breaks in, you confront the thief. That's some serious nefesh. People do that for very valuable items. If you're going to be responsible, that's something that one will do. So if you want Mesiras Nefesh from your employees, what do? Make them responsible for losses. I wonder if that's really been done. It's all very well giving a bonus when times are good. Or is there bezel? You're not even there. Isn't such a system?
It's tools in a workshop.
No, but the business loses money. When the business does well, they expect a bonus, and they're entitled to that. Very nice. What happens when you've had a bad year?
Absolutely.
Okay, but that's that really should be the one should make a deal with it.
We've often threatened this, but you don't have any guidance.
Unless they agree, you could probably make a deal with them.
What?
But the interesting thing is here
that
according to Rashi, that will motivate them more than the possibility of profits. The fact that they might have to pay in, that they might have to take a drop in salary next year, will be much more of a motivation than the promise of a bonus.
There's no question about it. No question whatever.
But that will do it. I'm sure it is.
What was suggested was, at a company I worked with, that they allocate a percentage of profit at the end of the year to bonus. Any losses of equipment was removed from that allocation.
That's the loss of equipment, which is much more straightforward. But we're talking about loss of profit.
But obviously, the percentage of profit that goes down, your amount of bonus that you...
And we're not talking about amount of bonus. We're talking about in a year where there's a loss. That all those people who feel entitled to a bonus when the company does well should also feel... It's a lovely business institute seminar, isn't it? Should it? Why not? What's the right? I'm entitled to a bonus when the company does well, but...
When it does badly, it's not my fault.
No, because it's not always dependent on productivity. Sometimes it's economic factors.
And bonuses? And bonuses is always dependent on productivity. How often is it because interest rates went down... Or interest rates went up and the company had good money on deposit. There are all sorts of reasons why the company does well. It's otherwise because of productivity. Somebody, one person does a good deal. One trader pulled off a good deal. Everybody wants to share in the bonus because the company did well. So either you take the view that we're all in it together and we'll all do our best. There can be individual bonuses and there can be company bonuses. But when an employee expects a bonus, not because I did well. What happens to an employee who wasn't productive, but the company did wonderfully well? Does he not get a bonus? What will happen if he doesn't get a bonus? He expects a bonus, the company did well. No, when the company does bad. How do you explain that? How do you justify that?
It's not what the end has to be before now you are
guaranteed
a bonus regardless of the result.
But once you get a bonus means that you're part of your salary. That's something else.
That's why
but we're talking about it before. There are many companies where in addition to what you guaranteed, there's a performance bonus the company does well. It's important to say that. And I feel the Shomer Socher, because Rashi could easily have said the Shomer Socher is most nefesh more because he's being paid. But Rashi avoids saying that. It's not because he's being paid.
You could even be more specific on the basis that, let's say, people get paid on a piece rate. When they make a certain number of items above that, they get paid a bonus. And below that, theoretically, they should be
penalized.
If you could get them to agree to, which they would never, then it would work. When you're in the same sort of thing. But that's, you know, they'll accept additional money and they won't accept it to that.
But they need to be put on the defensive. That's what what's happening in the country at the moment is they're getting away with it practically one can accept. It's not easy to accept, one can accept it, but that they can get away with it and still hold the moral high ground.
Yeah.
That's no good. They need to be exposed for not being willing to do it.
It's exactly the same as this concept of they have a stay away. I'm toying with a white stay away, but I don't think
they're going to stay away. They've done it very, very successfully, by the way.
They stay away?
Yes. Management's on the strike. Management on strike. Factory closes. Management's on strike. Very successful. And a number of companies that are very successful have had no industrial problems since. You've got to just have enough muscle to be able to survive for a few weeks, because it doesn't help you for a few days.
Yeah,
on strike. Put and all the rest of it and have hearings, and when you don't get satisfaction, you go on strike. Works.
But even a shemir socher hands over to a shemir chinam, the quality of the shemir deteriorates because the responsibility is less. Potter shemir socher beinsim. Even then, the shemir socher remains potter beinus. If there wasn't onus in the hands of the shemir chinam, he remains potter. The lein matzion of the balabais pushat the shemir sati lacher. And the balabais cannot say, you gave it to a shemir chinam. I made you a shemir socher because I wanted you to be responsible, so that you would be careful in the way you guard it. You went and handed it over to a shemir chinam, who's going to be less careful. Shalom asorah levendas. Because at the end of the verse is Rashi, that's not called cheer. To give something over to an intelligent person is not called cheer. It's true that he's not as good as a shemir socher would have been, but he's good enough. So how do you justify it? How do you understand that it's good enough but not as good? I chose a shemir socher. How can you give it to a shemir chinam? How do you justify it? The other way around is fine. But now what happens, I take a shomer socher, I take my bank manager, and I say, I want you to look at it because I want you to be chayav in Nodav Abeda. I don't want a shomer chinam, but I also have plenty of friends who look after for me, but I wouldn't take money. If they don't take money, they're supposed to be Nodav Abeda. I don't want somebody who's supposed to be Nodav Abeda. Fine. He goes on holiday and gives it to a shomer chinam. The shomer chinam now is not a question of Nodav, but now is an onus. The shomer chinam is held up by robbers. Comes the shomer socher, the bank manager comes and says, no, even if this happened to me, I would have had to give it up. So I said, it was a pshia. This is not honest. This is pshia. You had no right to give it to him. Maybe it wouldn't have happened. If it stayed in the bank, this might never have happened. How could you give it to him? So we answer. We say, it's not a pshia. He says, it's a bengas. That's not a pshia. So how does one live with that afterwards? How do you come to terms with that?
Why do you first place him to Shemaitzachar?
Because he wants responsibility. He wants extra responsibility. That's why you can blame him. That's why you should. That's what I'm asking. So how does the Shemir Sofer get away with it? It's not Pashir. I gave it to a Ben Bas. I think there's only one answer to that. That's Pashir. If you don't have Bitochen, you can't live with that. The fact is, I did something which is not abnormal. I gave it to a Ben Bas. If a Ben Bas was robbed at gunpoint, that's when they blame him. That's not because I did something wrong. I wasn't Pashir. If I do a Pashir, then why am I responsible? Why don't we say Pashir? It's a Pashir? Because Pashir is not Pashir. If one is negligent, that's not Pashir, that's you did it. So if I come along and I say, where's the Rembrandt? He says, you know what happened? You never believe what a schuss you have. The Rebbeinu Shlom must love you. The Rebbeinu Shlom himself came and took it away. How did he do it? I don't know how he did it. I came home and the Rembrandt was gone. The Rebbeinu Shlom must have taken it. And we say, 1 second. You came home, where were you? I was out visiting friends. Who was in the house? Nobody was in the house. Was there an alarm system on? I don't have an alarm system. Was the door locked? I never locked my door. Was it at least closed? He says, why should I close the doors? And he was the kind of door. My door's always open. You left the Rembrandt in your house with the door open? He says, yes. So, it's a shit. It's a shit. If the Rebbeinu Shlom wouldn't have wanted it to go, it wouldn't have gone. That's what he found. Why is that not accepted? Because it's a shit. She is not a shit. Says, Rashi, to hand over for Shmura an object to a Ben Bas is not a shit. The fact is, it's gone and it might not have been gone if it was in my hands. We won't say that. The fact is that if I didn't act with Pashir, the action is not attributed to me. Then the action is attributed to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So that's the only way that one can live with it.
What
was
the act of
capable family
in order to
show me
not Pashir?
Because
it's a Ben Bas, capable Shmir. In the first place, even if his capable Moshe is not one for
Surely, if I learn something, I say you must look after it. What's one of the issues in the sugya? That's one of the issues in the sugya. What are the basic kind of nonsense? But I chose you because I know you're valuable, son. I can rely on you. You're a bar samka. Yeah. That's one of the issues in the sugya. It seems according to Rashi, this doesn't come into it. There's a certain standard basic requirement of shmira, and handing it to somebody capable of performing those minimum requirements of shmira is not a pshit. The fact that after you've done it better, that doesn't matter. When one starts learning to delegate, one of the first things you learn is that the people you're delegating to are likely not to do it as well as you. It's still better to delegate. There's a certain minimum standard that you will accept in the end of life. Why are you laughing about this?
I've always said in my business, if I only had 10 like me, I would have had a cut to stop, you
know?
Sam is asking, to the side here, this is the kind of gemara that has lots of sides here. How do you maintain a standard if you're prepared to delegate to people with lower standards than yourself? The answer is a very simple answer, but standards is a very, what's the word, touchy morality when it comes to standards. Who manufactures a higher quality motor car? Rolls-Royce or Ford? Rolls-Royce for sure. Who's doing society a greater service? Who's better for society? Clearly Ford. There comes a point where perfection is at the expense of the social welfare. And a person says, but I can do better, I can do better, so I'll do less and less, better and better, until I'm doing nothing perfectly. That's the result of not being willing to deliver. That this perfection becomes such an obsession that you limit yourself to nothing. That's a point where people understand that it's more important to get the work out at an acceptable level than to withhold the work because I'm striving for perfection, which is going to elude me in any case. I have to make this constantly making more out. It's not my standard. So you've got to understand that there's a difference between an ideal standard and an acceptable standard. The first standard is the ideal standard. It's not practical, it's not the ideal standard. Sometimes the work has to be gotten out, and it has to be a little bit less than ideal. And that's the answer to that.
Perfection is also doing the world a service.
Yes, but it's a different service. It's a standard. Yeah, so it's a standard, so it has place. But one has to become the time you've got to roll the one up against the other.
Because without the perfection, the goals wouldn't go.
So there's a place for it, but you've got to roll. You've got to roll what your level is and what your goal is.
Perfection is going the delegator. So he's
the one. He sets the standard.
There has to be a reality in perfection.
Says Tosfos, Lomi Barishim Efinim Shemos Vishim Esofo. Not only if Hashem Mechin Om has led to Hashem Esecho, he would be potter for Gnevei Avodo. When you Hashem Esecho, ki Meshalim Meshalim Nebailim. I don't know about Hashem Esecho, he's not potter, he's higher. So who will he potter? He'll potter the Bailim. To the owner, not to the middleman. Ki Damu Ba Mafkid, the Alok Dabar Yesh, the Omar Ben Hala Osu Sfeira Bifar Osu Shechavu. We have a principle that you can't trade on somebody else's assets. That's both the principle that you must be trading with your own assets. And if the Rembrandt wasn't yours, you can't end up making money in it. So if somebody has to pay, the transaction has to be between the person paying and the person who owns the Rembrandt, So the Shem Esef will end up paying the Bailim. But if the this is in the event that the Shem Esef hasn't got the money, then the Shem Echim can't be made responsible for the Shem Esef will certainly have to pay.
It's just the thing that you can't sell the apple to somebody else's assets in the same.
You don't need this one.
Now,
if that's an insurable risk, there's some principle insurable risk.
I can insure something that doesn't belong.
Not if you don't have an insurable, not if you don't have an insurable risk.
I think it's true.
It has to be an insurable risk.
If your tennis player is on, for example, not paying.
Nothing is working for you. You can take a life insurance out on somebody who's owes you something. And then, what is it that even afterwards, if you no longer owe, you can keep it. That is solid. Don't cancel the insurance after you no longer have the interest. But at the time of taking out the insurance, you have to have an insurable interest. The same principle only the source for us, the first which I wonder what going long and going short would be. Taking a position in a share or in a share option, something you don't possess, you're actually selling something you don't yet own. You plan it to own it, but this moment you own. Yeah. So that claim that a future is a tangible asset is an asset. Not tangible, it's an asset, it's a tradable asset. But that's questionable. I have an interesting theory which I've borne out with a lot of different people, but I don't know whether it's universal. There's no Sefer Gishmael in trading futures and the philosophy of Chavayu. You've got another business, you're making something, you're selling something, there's Sefer Gishmael. It doesn't work with you. When one's working, when one's gambling and speculating, Sefer Gishmael, sometimes the other factors work, but not Sefer Gishmael.
Taiwan Shmirosai. In the Farish, Aliyah, the meaning of this improved Shmir does not mean she nignav tazol bali. But if the item has been stolen, it goes back to the Baalim, money goes back to the Baalim. That's not what it means. As Tefas has just said, but in the case of the Shonasoch, will have to pay the Shonasoch, that's not what it means by improved Shmir. The Hagri got a lot of Aush Binyan Zer, because the converse can't be explained that way. Or Shonasoch gives a lot of Shem of him, and that relationship doesn't exist. The Giron in the Ule is the Rishon Mesoko, as Rashi says, is most nefesh more to God than Hashem Echina. Tosfos doesn't give the reason why, and my feeling is that Tosfos is not because of the payment, not because of the chiyuvim. Because it says Shem Mesoko, one who is paid to look after it, looks after it better than one who is not being paid to look after it. The emphasis on whether it is a Shem Mesoko or a Shem Mechina. Whereas Rashi went out of his way to say that the reason is because of the Chiyuvim. Because the Chiyuvim draw of our order. So the count of the stick, it can only seem to be an Achlech, as Rashi and Tosfos say. It's not Mechach and Tosfos, but it seems to be that way. Rava Omar, Rava says back in the Gemara, Shem Yosem, exactly the opposite. Two Lord Malawi Yosem. Hashem Yosem, Hashem Yosem, Valoi Nibao Shem Yosef, Hashem Yosem, Hashem Yosem, the Greek guy in the Shem Yosem, and not only Shem Azzachu runs over to Hashem Echinim, there is a deterioration in the quality of Shmur, not only was he Chayev, or after Hashem Echinim, Shem Azzachu, Shem Yisrochu Chayev. But even Hashem Echinim runs over to Hashem Azzachu, where there is an improved condition of Shmur, he is still Chayev. To Amale, here we've got this thing that's been worrying all of you. At Mems the Bishur, I am the Mems the Bishur. What does he say? How do I think that you will look after it better? There's a certain minimum side of the Shmur, that's all I'm entitled to expect of anybody. But there's no doubt to be sure when it's lost, I'm going to have to believe that you weren't implicated in the loss. Because you're put here, so it would be very easy for you to hire a thief, you're a Shem Echina, so it would be easy for you to hire a thief, to have it stolen, and that's it, then you're puzzled. So you have to take a Shmur. You have to take a Shmur that you're not. We're not implicated in the theft. Now it becomes a question of trust. And I don't trust, I trusted you more than I would have trusted the person you gave. So I'm not prepared to accept a shmur from him. That's why I've been choosing. It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Isn't it sure that I wasn't for share?
That I wasn't for share also.
That's also
that I have now. No, if it's greater than my role, I would have said if I have my hand in the middle, I wasn't for share. Because that's otherwise that would be a. Because I even for things beyond his control. Which you previously have been talking for now is out. Why? Because we said the Shia is a number of uncle. Why is it the Shia? Because the Shia is the Shemachim and Nishma Shalom Pasha. The Shemachim has to take it over, he wasn't for sure. And you should realize that that's a very personal choice. Who I choose? No, I would choose anybody else. But the test of the Dimitri Shemana.
The Shem is Chayv. The Lim by Shem is Sofer Shem Asul Shem Echinim. The Gruy Gari Lishmiros. So Yelo Apilu Shem Echinim Shem Asul Shem is Sofer Chayv. not only in the case of a shomer socher who gives it to a shomer chinam, thus decreasing the quality of the shmiro. Not only there is a chayev, that that is considered an act of pshia, and he'll be chayev even ba'insin, as Rashi explained. But even if the shomer chinam gives it over to a shomer socher, where he's giving it into the hands of a tighter shmiro, even that is called an act of pshia, and he'll be chayev even ba'insin. The omale, what's the svara? At mehem and libishvua, ha'ilu mehem and libishvua. Because there's another thing here. There's a question of integrity that comes into it. Part of the effectiveness of a shmiro is the fact that I feel relaxed that if you'll tell me you were careful, and if you'll tell me that you had no part in the theft, either through pshia or through any other kind of complicity, that I will be comfortable to accept it. That can apply by some people and not by others, and therefore the shomer shemosel shomer is chayev. Says Tosfos, at mehemet li b'shvua. Lefi tam zeh, according to this svara, according to this reasoning of at mehemet li b'shvua, hay lo mehemet li b'shvua, im hasheni ne'eman yoseh min harishon. What happens if the second one is more trusted than the first one? The first one that one picks is a known deceitful person, and he decides he's going to go on holiday, so he wants to hand the Rembrandt to somebody else. So he hands it over to the Chofetz Chaim and says to the Chofetz Chaim, will you please look at it? So now he will come along, and it will be stolen from the Chofetz Chaim's house. Come the Balabos, he'll say, well, being honest, there was a fire in the Chofetz Chaim's house, and the Rembrandt went. So the Hasidim will say it wasn't an oynis, it's because it was goyish. The Chofetz Chaim will say it was an oynis, and the Balabos will say it was a pshir. How could you, I gave it to you, not to the Chofetz Chaim? How could you have given it to the Chofetz Chaim? So he'll say, but still, I made the Chofetz Chaim a shomer socher. I was paying him. It's a better shmira, and he's a better person. So what's he going to say? At mehem li bishvur, hay lo mehem li bishvur. You, I trust with a shvur. The Chofetz Chaim, I don't trust with a shvur. That would be absurd. So according to this svara, there would be a chiluk that where the second person is clearly more trustworthy than the first person, Rova's din would cease to apply. And in such a case, we would have to say that the shomer shomer is potur.
But the
chiluk
is only for the shomer rishon,
No, the second one also. Whoever had the theft. But he'll also have to make a shvur that he wasn't poshea.
To the first shomer.
Good, but it all depends on that. Are we going to trust him? Are we going to believe that he wasn't a pusher? So the first one says, I believe him, but the owner says, I don't believe him. And I would never have left it with him because I don't trust him. I don't trust him not to be pusher.
But doesn't really apply because it didn't have this direct contact between the owner and the second.
It's the indirect, you're right, but that indirect contact is just as important. At the end of the day, the owner is going to come to the first shomer. The first shomer is going to say, sorry, it was by the second shomer. But it wasn't a pshia, it was an oinis. He says, how do you know it was a pshia? How do you know it was an oinis? He says, he swore to me that it was an oinis. So I don't believe him. At the end of the day, the integrity of the shomer is at stake. Aval b'hamafkid, but in perik hamafkid, iketai machrina. There's yet another reason given. What is that? The ein retzoni shiyeh pekdeni biyad achir. I don't want him looking after my pikodin. I don't want him looking after it. I chose you because I want you to look after it, not him. Not because it's a matter of trust or not trust. I want you to have it, nobody else. And these two reasons are not the same, because here, irrespective of how trustworthy the third one, I don't want my Rembrandt in the Chofetz Chaim's house. There can be all sorts of reasons for it. That's not where I wanted it. I wanted it in your house. Let's ask on Ula, how can Ula be chelek with Rova? Because if the basis of it is I don't want my pikudin in somebody else's hand, that's the basis of Rova's din. That is a Mishnah. And how can Ula disagree and say Shomer Shemosel Shomer is potur? Before could I get in Omar told me men of if a man says, go and get from my wife such and such an object, you can't send somebody else to do it. You've got to do it yourself, because the husband can say, I don't want my pikodin to be in somebody else's hands. That is lechatchila dika obligation, but b'dieved we've never had a case where anybody's held responsible for that. B'dieved, if you hand it over to somebody who's a responsible thinking person about das, then it doesn't matter whether it's somebody who would originally have been chosen by the first owner or not. It can well be that he wouldn't have been chosen by the first owner, but that's not a reason to be mechayev. The first one is a pusher. It's not pusher. It's not called pshir. That's the sugya there. And now we go into a new sugya, which is a nearly a daf long. So the halachas we're going to look at. We're going to look at the halacha lamaisis. Let's get a Rambam and a Shulchan Aruch. And the Rambam we have to get is Hilchos Malveh V'Loveh. That will be in Kinyan or Shoft or Mishpotim. And we need Choshen Mishpat. The Kuf Yud Zayin is probably the second chelik of Choshen Mishpat. I don't know. Let's see. We'll have first see if there's anything worth working on there. Where's everybody else tonight? Who are we missing? Sheposha b'tchilosoi afalpi shenen aspesoi fechayek. Okay. Ve'ena shoyl roshoy lahashil afilu shal sefer Torah. Somebody who's borrowed something is not permitted to lend it. Even if you borrow a Sefer Torah, even if it's a Sefer Torah, or certainly any other Sefer, that it's a mitzvah to learn in, still, a Shoyl is not permitted to lend anything that he has borrowed. And likewise, a renter is not permitted to hire out. Even if it's a Sefer Torah, he can't hire it out. How does it work with your Rex? Where's Simon? How does it work with your Rex?
Only the hire is allowed to drive it.
He's not allowed to hire it out to anybody else, not to lend it to anybody. Because of insurance or because of...
Anybody else driving it.
Because of insurance or because of that? That's the contract.
And he can specify another driver.
Specify a second driver.
Because the owner is entitled to say, I want to know who's driving my car. It's not available for everybody. If the shomer was over and he did it, if there are witnesses that the second shomer watched it as carefully as shomer normally do, and what happened was an oynes, potu. Hashem Rarishon. Shara Yesh Edim Shenenas, because there were Edim that was Nenas. So who are we paskening like? Rov or like Ule?
We don't really know what the reason is there.
But according to Ule, what's the case? And according to Rov, what's the case if there's Nenas?
If he could, if the only thing we knew was that he could make a Shvura, let's go according to the first, then he can't. You don't believe his shvuah, so I don't like it. But here it's not that. There's independent evidence.
That he watched it okay. That it was a real onus.
Yeah,
right, so what would Rava hold in such a case?
It seems
it would
be fine.
He might even Rava might agree that he's potter there, you're saying. And if there are no edim, the first shomer has to pay, even though it was an onus. Because he handed it over to anybody else. And then he gets involved in litigation with the second shomer. Even if it's up to a Shomer Socher, because the owner can say, I don't believe the Shomer Socher. So it's rather with an expansion. It's rather with the expansion that if there's independent evidence that it was an onus, that we don't have to rely on the Shvur, then he's potter. The whole reason that Rava says it's chayev is because you have to rely on a shvuah, and the owner is entitled to say, I don't accept a shvuah from him. But if it's a case where we don't need a shvuah because there's independent evidence, then even Rava would agree that he's potter. Lefichach, and therefore, im hoyoderech ha-bailin lafki tomid over zeh etzel ha-shomer ha-sheni. If the bailin very often used to use the second shomer in any event, harizeh ha-shomer ha-rishon potur milishalim, the first shomer will be potur. Because then he can't claim that one's not neiman for me. That's Tosfos, isn't it? What do you mean you don't trust the second shomer? The first shomer will say, last week you gave it to him, you used him as a shomer. That means you do trust him. For who shall you might be shmiroso, provided he doesn't look after it any less. So he says, "Behu shelo yemayt shmirosa." Provided he doesn't decrease the shmirah. Ketzad yemayt shmirosa. What do we mean by decreasing the shmirah? Kiven shoy yom mufkad etzli bischar. For example, if the first one was a shomer socha, biyifkido etzli sasheni bechinam, and he gave it to the next one bechinam. That's a miutish in shmirah. Oy shoy yom shol etzli, or it was borrowed by the first one, biyifkido etzli sasheni bischar, and he gave the second one a shomer socha. Ah, that's a beautiful nafkimina and the two reasons we had 2 days ago. Remember, we said, what is it that motivates a better shmirah, the money or the responsibility? Remember, the nafkimina will be with a shoyl to a shomer socher. A shoyl borrows an item and he then pays somebody else to look after it. So if we're going to say the money is the motivator of better shmirah, what would that be, an aliyah or a yurida? That would be an aliyah. But the Rambam says, no, that's also a yurida. Why? Because the shomer socher has less responsibility than the shoyl. So the Rambam also learns that way, like Rashi. That is a pshia. Now, where does the Rambam get that from? That's back to Ula. Well, in fact, it's neither. Both of them said it's irrelevant whether it goes up or down. Ula said you're always chayev, or you're always potur. And Rava says you're always chayev. The Rambam comes along and says if you went up in Shmirah or the same Shmirah, you're potter. Provided you didn't depend on the integrity of this person. But if it's a decrease in Shmirah, you're taka chayev. Where does the Rambam get that from? Who's he passing after? Rava or Ule? Neither of them. Where does the Rambam see that in Al Gemara? How does the Rambam learn Al Gemara to come out of that? I think he learns that in Rava. What does Rava say? Shomer shemosel shomer chayev. Not only a shomer socher shemosel shomer chinim degrui gri lishmirosu. Not only where he's goreya. That in itself is a reason to make him chayev. But even when he's not goreya, even when he doesn't decrease the shmirah, if there's the taina of integrity. But you don't have to come onto the taina of integrity in the ratio. Where you're decreasing the quality of the shmirah, you don't have to come onto the taina of integrity. That in itself is a reason to be chayav. That's how he learns Rava. Not that the only reason is integrity. Says Rava, firstly, a decrease in shmirah is already a chiyuv. But even if it's an increase in shmirah, you're chayav because of the integrity clause. So provided you take are dependent on the integrity, then that would be so. But a decrease in Shmira, you don't have to come onto the integrity at all. So it's all pshat in Rova. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. That's Pasuk arrived in this moment. Perek Dalet Aleph. Okay, listen to this Rambam. This is the Rambam in his Kimono. There are two Rambams on this. Mosar Hashemir l'Shemir Acher. Hashemir Harishon Chayev l'Shalim l'Nizak. If a Shemir gave it to a second Shemir, the first Shemir would have to pay the Nizak if it got damaged. Shashemir Shemosar l'Shemir Chayev, because we paskin like Rova that a Shemir Shemosar l'Shemir is Chayev. Why did you give it to somebody else? You pay me and you go and talk to that shomer. Says the Nizak says to the Shomer, why didn't you look after it yourself? Says the Ravid calls the Enim Chuvah. This is all unclear. Ela Nizak gave him in Asheni Amezish Yid, so the Nizak can go to whoever he wants to. But Ad Shomer LeShomer, and if you Rambam want to say that you can say to the first Shomer, why didn't you look after it yourself? Yomer LeBailim Lama Lo Shomato Ata Shorcho. Let the Shomer say to the owner, why didn't you look after it yourself? You asked me to look after it. Why shouldn't I ask somebody else to look after it? By the life of my head, everything the Rambam wrote here is unnecessary. Because here the principle of Ein Ritzoni Shepikdoni Biad Achi doesn't apply. Because the owner is not losing anything. In the case of Nezikin, but that's different. That's the case of Nezikin. What does the Shulchan Aruch got to say on it? Resh Tzadi Aleph. Interesting. She says the Shulchan Aruch, Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer Chayev, passing like Rova. Good. Even if it's a shomer chinam giving to a shomer socher, which is an aliyah, it's an improved shmira, still you chayev. Why? The omale at mehemen li bishvua hechle mehemen li bishvua. Because he says, as Rava says, I trust you with a shvua. I don't trust a shomer socher with a shvua. Afilu im yadua lachol masha asheni toy v'choshe yose me'arishun. Adds the Shulchan Aruch. Even if everybody knows that the second one is more trustworthy than the first one. The fichach in derech habayelim lafgid tomid dover zeitzel hashem rasheni. If the Baalim always uses the second shomer, hare hashem rishon potur milashalim, then the first shomer is potur. Because the Baalim himself displayed his trust in the first one. V'ushalu yemayit shmiroso, provided the shmira doesn't go down. But where does the... He wants to say that even if everybody knows, not like Tosfos, even if everybody knows that the second one is more trustworthy than the first one, it's a subjective thing. He can say, I don't trust the Chofetz Chaim. What can I do? I don't trust him. He's entitled to say that. I wouldn't have given it to the Chofetz Chaim. Whereas Tosfos says no. Very fascinating. Thank you. But Vilna Gaon just says, "Udaloi ketosvis bavakame daf yudale from udbeis tibra matkeves." The Shulchan Aruch is chaylek on the tosvis, so you should just write into your tosvis there that ayin b'Shulchan Aruch siman reish tadi aluf siv chavav to chaylek. And you should during chavrusa you should have a look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. This is a subject of the Machlokes. Rashi, the Machlokes, Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch, is whether this is a subjective thing. Whether an individual is entitled to say, I don't trust that second one, I don't care what kind of reputation he's got, I don't trust him. According to Tosfos, that's irrelevant. You can't say that. If the Olam trusts him, you can't claim that you don't trust him. The first Shomer was fully entitled to give it to somebody who, in the world's opinion, is more trustworthy than he is himself. You have a Meshugas about it, that's your problem. According to the Shulchan Aruch, not. Trust is a subjective thing, and the person is entitled to say, I want it in your hands. Now, where does the Shulchan Aruch get it from, do you think? That trust is subjective. And that you're entitled to say, even though the whole world, you can even say on the Chofetz Chaim, I'm sorry, I don't trust him. I wouldn't put my pichodon in his hands. Where does the Bechaber get it from that you can say that? What's the makor for that, would you say? I'm guessing, but I think... Sorry? Now, if they're aiding that Hitaka wasn't Poshea, then we don't worry about you.
Yeah,
but that's different. That's Exeus Hakosov. Here it's his own. It's a question of emotion. It's a question of trusting or not trusting. So where does he get that subjective, the justification of the subjective element in Halacha here? What's his makor for it? I think the Mechaber holds that the two reasons the Tosfos bring are not different. Tosfos brought two reasons. The one is at lo mehemen li bishvur, and the other was ein ritzoy nishir pikdoin biyadach. What's the nafkimina, said Tosfos, that in the case of a trustworthy person, if the person is trustworthy, I can't say at lo mehemen li, or at mehemen li heich lo mehemen li, but I can say ein ritzoy nishir pikdoin biyadach. According to the Mechaber, what does it mean, Ein Ritzoy Nishiyeh Pikdoni Biyadache? What do I mean? I don't want him to have my pikdon, why not? It means there's something about him that I don't trust. So what is the difference between these two timing, asks the Mechaber. What is the difference between At Mehemently Heich Lo Mehemently and Ein Ritzoy Nishiyeh Pikdoni Biyadache? Answers the Mechaber, the difference is in a case where everybody knows that it's a trustworthy person. But I can still say, Ein Ritzoni, I don't want it. It's my object and I don't want it in his hands. What does it mean, I don't want it? I don't trust him in one way or another. So we see from that, which Tosfos says is only a lechatchila, not a b'di'evid. The Mechaber holds as a b'di'evid even, that you can be held responsible for handing it over even to somebody trustworthy. That is the chiluk between the Mechaber and the Tosfos. It's a big chiluk. That if I'm given something to look after and I hand it over to the Chofetz Chaim in my absence, according to Tosfos, it was wrong to do without permission, but I'm not chayev because of that. According to the Mechaber, I'm chayev. I could be chayev if the owner says, I didn't say anything, I didn't want it in the Chofetz Chaim's hands.
It's not a question of privacy, because maybe I didn't want the person to know that I had certain wealth. I mean, I trust him, but I'm interested, not that I didn't want him to have it, it's that I gave it to you. And my
yeah, that would be part of the Issa Lechatchila, but that would not create a chayev. That won't make you a posheya. You're right. That's why it is wrong for you to pass it on to anybody. There's a certain confidence, yeah. That's why it is wrong. That's Tosfos Shesvara. But the principle of Ein Ritzoni is poshut. It has got nothing to do with trust and fear of loss. It's just my own feeling. I didn't want this object to be in somebody else's possession for whatever reason. And therefore, says Tosfos, it's an ethical obligation, but it's not something you can hold somebody responsible for. Ethically, you have no right to hand it over to somebody else. But if you did it, you can't be held responsible as a pusher. It's not pshir. It's unethical, but it's not pshir. Whereas according to the Mechaber, it can be held as pshir. It's a Chofetz Chaim, I gave it with the pshir. I gave it to the Chofetz Chaim, and I made him a shomer socher. So it's a better shmirah and a more honest person. So he's entitled to say, by you he's a more honest person, by me he isn't. Otherwise, what's pshat in Eimut Soni Shiepik Duni Biadachim? So we have a basic machlokes between the Mechaber and the Shulchan and the Tosfos as to what the pshat is in Eimut Soni Shiepik Duni Biadachim. I'd like you to do chazor on that. That's very important that you actually see that in the Mechaber. That you actually understand that machlokes, what they are being cholik about, what the makor is for the Mechaber, where he gets it from, and what the yisoid of the machlokes, Tosfos and Mechaber is. Resh Tzadi Aleph Sif Chavav. It's brought in, yeah. That's important to see that. Because that, according to the, that then you would have to learn like Tosfos that it is a. An ethical obligation, but it can't be mechayev you. So why does mechayev you? No, ethics doesn't isn't mechayev you. Ethics isn't mechayev money. A law, legality is mechayev money. A person that is behaves unethically, that doesn't, that's not mechayev in money. It doesn't create a shibud. So that would be the difficulty in the Mechaber, Trevor. That would be the difficulty. Where does he get the Chiyuv moment from? Why does that make him a Peshay? It makes him an immoral person for not respecting the wishes of the original owner. But that doesn't make him a Peshay. Nice Ktzeis Achrishin you can look at. There's a short Ktzeis Achrishin on that, which is nice. They're all preparing the whole blat of the sugya for next year. Yeah. The thing with the next sugya is that unless you go right through it, you don't begin to understand it. From two dots, it's after the two dots. Yeah, it's after the two dots. This is one of those sugyas that unless you actually go through the whole thing.
Has it got any bearing on anything we've done before? I know I've struggled with that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's a completely new sugya. It's a completely new sugya. It's completely independent, and you need to go through the whole thing several times before you even begin to understand it. You won't understand. We'll be confused the first few times.
Could you let's say 10 minutes run through it?
I was thinking, I'm weighing up in my mind whether I should do that or I shouldn't. I think I shouldn't do it, yeah.
Shouldn't do it?
Sorry? I think you should do it, yeah. I think you should do it, and I think you should take the other guys. Take a guy on Shabbos, get one of the other chavrusas to work through it with you, so that you don't waste time. But you do the reading then. If I just read through it, I think it'll spoil it. I think you need to do the reading. Why won't you do it? No, tell them not to. Tell them not to. They've learned the sugya. They've gone through the whole sugya already. They're busy battling with it at the moment, but they've learned. You take them, but say you can even take one of them for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or four, and ask him to sit with you while you battle through it. That's really what should be done then.
When the Rosh translates it for the first time, we have to know.
It's better that you've already battled with it a little bit. I was just weighing up whether I could run through it quickly and you'd have it on the tape. But I'll do that on Sunday. On Sunday I'll run through the whole sugya, just reading and translating the Gemara and Rashi. But by then it would be good if you've already become familiar with the car. I don't expect you to know the sugya by Sunday, but at least to be to grapple with it a little bit, to know what's all one sugya. You know, you've got to go through the whole thing.